My guest today is Michael Crum. How are you, Michael?
Doing very well. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you wore the same shirt as last time.
Exactly. You know, I decided that I was just going to wear the same shirt, even the same name badge.
Me too.
This time. So,
I want to talk to you about your recently published ebook. What is it called?
Yes. Okay. So, I have an ebook that Telerik sponsored that is called 10 Laps Around Silverlight 5.
Okay, and Silverlight 5 recently came out. When was it released?
Yeah. So Silverlight 5, it basically just came out. And when Silverlight 5 came out, everybody was, you know, they were excited about the betas, and they were excited about some of the other pieces that
they were excited that it's not dead yet.
Yes, they were excited that it wasn't dead
Which yet. Was the rumor for a while.
Exactly. So Silverlight 5, it came out in December. Thankfully, our controls, they were working for it just a few days before Christmas.
And yeah, and you're a Silverlight MVP, aren't you?
Exactly,
I'm a Silverlight MVP. You're really well invested in this technology.
Yes, I'm very well invested in it, and I see the value that it has to offer. And yeah, it is not dead in any way, shape, or form. But going back to your original question, it was 10 laps around Silverlight 5. And basically, what I did was I looked at all of the new features of Silverlight. And I decided to kind of just break them down as kind of like my cube buddy that was sitting beside me and just go through building some sample projects, you know, showing off all of these new features, you know, and really just kind of getting everybody up to speed. And so, you know, the folks at Telerik, you know, they talked to me and they were so supportive, you know, of me doing this. And then at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to be able to give this book away for free. Now, you know, this was Telerik's time, you know, writing this book and stuff. So we were able at the end of it, you know, it's sponsored by Telerik, but that's pretty much it. It's not one of those books that has a bunch of other things in it. It goes straight to the point.
Okay.
You know, it gets you going.
Well, yeah, let's not cover everything that's in Silverlight 5, sure. But let's talk about the most important things. Let's say I'm a Silverlight 4 developer, which by the way, I'm not. I'm really not a Silverlight developer at all.
Sure.
But what are the important things that are new in 5 that are awesome?
Yeah, so if I was a Silverlight 4 guy, one of the first biggest things that I would notice would be SAML binding debugging.
Okay.
So in the past, and a lot of the Silverlight 4 guys, you know, they have had all of the frustrations with binding expressions. So you may have a text block, and maybe you're setting a text to some sort of binding statement. And in the past, if data didn't appear, maybe it's going to, you know, appear a customer's name, first or last name, and nothing appears. Well, you had to do a lot of other kind of like workarounds, using different types of type converters and things like that. Well, now you don't have to do that anymore. You can actually just put a breakpoint on that line of XAML. So anywhere inside of in Silverlight 5. Anywhere inside of your window that you're working in, if it has the word binding, you can actually put a breakpoint. And when you run that application in debug mode, then it will break on that line.
And you can examine the state of the data as it's being bound.
Exactly, yeah. And you can examine that. Now, of course, as I said before, it's only on lines that have a binding with it. But one of the cool things about the Silverlight 5 binding is that if you have a Silverlight 4 installed, and say maybe, you know, your customers, they're not ready to move to Silverlight 5, but if you have Silverlight 5 installed on that same box, you can still use that same functionality in your Silverlight 4 applications.
Oh, nice. So it's not tied to the version of Silverlight, it's tied more to the tooling and the IDE.
Yes, exactly. So you can, you know, fully, you know, be able to debug your binding statements in Silverlight 4. That's a really cool feature. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've been wanting. I was so excited at the Silverlight Firestarter when Scott Guthrie had announced that. So really great stuff.
Nice.
So another thing that I think is really beneficial is the new XNA 3D APIs. So my past, I've worked a lot in the healthcare space. So there's a lot of things that, you know, maybe a radiologist or somebody they needed, maybe they wanted to be able, you know, to display, I don't know, a broken bone or something.
Sure.
So with the 3D API, you can do pretty much your imagination. You know, anything in your imagination, you know, you're able to build that. And in Scott Guthrie's Firestarter sample project, you could kind of like peel away the skin of this model.
I saw that it was a virtual Scott Guthrie.
Yes, it was the virtual Scott Guthrie. Yeah, he had his shirt off and everything.
He took his red shirt off.
Exactly, he took his red shirt off in that, and they even drilled in and they were able to like, you know, see his heart beating and things, and that's really cool technology. That's something that, you know, I believe a lot of people are going to start, you know, finding more uses for 3D.
So this is, you mentioned this is the XNA library. So the XNA, when I think XNA, I think of games. Is that the same XNA?
And I'm the same way. It's basically an XNA API. So okay. You add a couple of DLLs to your project. Once you add those in, you still have to add in the XNA namespace, but then you have access to a couple of other things. And it's not just the 3D stuff. So low latency sound is another feature that uses some of the XNA, some of the specific XNA.
So this was technology that was built to support video games, and now it's being used, now it can be used inside for several other
things. Yeah, exactly.
Line of business apps.
Yeah, it can be used for that sort of thing.
Interesting.
And you know, for like the low latency sound, people use that a lot in games, maybe for like spaceships that you know, needed to make some sort of whirling sound. And in the past, people maybe, you know, chained a bunch of media elements all together to kind of make these sounds. And now they don't have to do that. They can do things like change the pitch, frequency, durations, you know, all of these sort of things. It's natively kind of built in, and we're able to do that. So that's one of the other things that I think is really important for, you know, Silverlight 4 guys coming to Silverlight 5 to be able to see that a lot of that stuff exists. But the other thing in Silverlight 5 is all of the improvements in text. Mm. So I've started to kind of become into this, you know, font guy where, you know, I really enjoy, you know, looking at different, you know, fonts, the font styles.
You've become a font geek.
Exactly. A font geek. Yeah. I can't use some of the default fonts that that everybody, that everybody uses, you know, looking at those. So a lot of text improvements have happened in Silverlight 5, but the one that I really want to mention is multi-column text. Mm-hmm. So one of the things about multi-column text is you just kind of think of like maybe a newspaper article where you have the article going straight down. Maybe you have like an image in the middle, and you maybe have text kind of wrapping around it.
Huh.
Well, in Silverlight 5, you can do a lot of those things very, very easily.
Silverlight just takes care of the flowing from one column to the other, and wrapping around the picture automatically?
Exactly. So basically you set up different types of overflows, and it will overflow from one rich text box to another one.
Mm.
So that's another really cool functionality that's built in Silverlight 5. I believe a lot of developers will enjoy checking that out. So another thing to bring up that I think would kind of be fun is there is now a click count property in Silverlight 5. So if you have maybe a mouse left button down and you have your sender and event args, well, you can now use maybe something like an e-dot click count. So when I first saw this, and so you can count how many clicks the user has made. So
okay.
I was thinking...
Clicks total or clicks like really fast? Double click.
The total number of clicks. So every time that they start clicking, it will count. Now if they hold up and just wait, you know, for a couple of seconds,
that resets.
It resets.
Oh, okay.
So what else?
This is instead of a double click, you have a triple click.
Yeah, exactly. So what's really cool about this is that maybe you could put in your code e dot click count equals 42.
So if you're able to click real fast 42 times, then something really special happens.
Exactly. Maybe, you know, pop up this like super secret admin section, you know.
Or maybe that's the only way to exit the application. That would be cruel.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's another thing I think would be pretty cool. But there's all kinds of operating system enhancements. One of the ones that I think is important is multiple windows. So in the past, you have a Silverlight application, you maybe would spawn a window, but that window still exists inside of your Silverlight application. station.
Okay.
So you can kind of picture you have a silver ladder out, and you have your window that you've popped up, and you're dragging it, and it only will drag inside of that window. Mm-hmm. Well, now in Silverlight 5, it supports, as I said, multiple windows. You can create that window, and let's just say, you know, you have this super awesome developer rig, you have, you know, a monitor here, and another monitor. You could drag that window outside of that Silverlight application.
Oh, okay.
So, and I can see this a lot for different types of dashboards. Mm-hmm. So you could create, you know, maybe one window over here, you know, that's going to have some sort of stock data, another window, and then another window. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of improvement with operating systems, but I think that's one that most developers will be able to incorporate into their applications.
Okay. Another is the ability to call directly into the Windows operating system.
Yes.
It didn't exist before, right?
Exactly, yeah. PInvoke. PInvoke is also brand new.
So it's odd that it took five versions to get PInvoke into this.
Yeah. It took a while, and a lot of people have asked me, what about Mac? No, it doesn't support Mac, of course. But I created one demo using PInvoke just kind of for fun. And you know, every time we've all, you know, maybe, you know, spin up maybe a new console out, you know, just playing around, you know, we have to make the computer be. So, you know, using the built-in, you know, speakers, right, the computer. So that was one of the first things that I was able to do. And no, I didn't know how to automatically get the computer to beep that code snippet to get all that to work is something I had to look up. But more importantly, it was being able to do it. And you can also, you know, of course, that you have access to PInvoke, you can do things like maybe pop up the Windows Run.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
R, and you can do things like that. And in some of the demos that I've seen, people were actually using PInvoke to detect whether or not a USB drive is inserted into the machine.
Interesting.
And if the USB drive is inserted into the machine, you know, copy some data off of it, do whatever you need to do with that data, and you know, you could write back and kind of do pretty much anything that you wanted to do, mm-hmm. as long as your permissions and everything.
So. Right, so Silverlight is starting to get out of that sandbox that it originally started in.
Yeah, exactly. You would have to have a few other things to write back. But yeah, so there's other things as well. There's a default file save dialog, so file name. So if you pop open save dialog in the past, you couldn't actually give it a default name. A lot of developers, and I know in Silverlight 4, because I did this in one of my own applications, you know, it was kind of annoyed because, you know, different workers, you know, they wanted a default file name, you know, already put in there. You know, of course, you got to have like the date in your file name,
right,
or something like that. They wanted all of that information processed in, and you know, especially when I was working in medical, you know, the date format had to be in this crazy long string, and you wanted to be able to automatically put that in.
I remember working on the limitation of other languages or other platforms, and what I had to do was save it with a file name that they liked. And then ask them to resave it. But then if they changed it, then I had this orphan file out there that nobody really wanted anymore.
Yeah, it may be one of those files that nobody that never gets picked up, never processed or anything like that. So yeah, that's cool. One of the last things that I think is really important in Silverlight 5 is the pivot viewer. So imagine large amounts of data and wanting to be able to visualize that. I know you have your awesome data visualization talks.
Have you heard the talk?
I think I heard parts of it at DevLink last year, because I believe at DevLink you were, it was one of those, you already had like your own, a couple of your own sessions, but you were filling in for somebody.
That might be the CodeStock.
I think it was CodeStock, Michael Mills' session. Yes, I remember that. And I believe I was able to peek in for a little while and check that out. So yeah, I know you're already this data visualization guy, but you know, the pivot viewer, the way that you're able to display and process data, you know, and get people to, you know, be able just to drill down on those certain levels, and they have a couple of samples of using Netflix and things like that of just different ways to visualize data.
Okay, yeah. So this is just built into the framework. It makes sort of like kind of a BI tool.
And, yeah, exactly.
Right out of the box.
Exactly. Right out of the box.
Nice. So all the stuff is in your ebook. Where can people find your ebook?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different locations that you can get that from. The first thing that you can go to silverlotshow.com. Okay. If you go to silverlotshow.com, it's usually up at the top, but if you just do a search for 10 laps around Silverlot 5, you can pretty much find it, you know, pretty easy. I also have a link to it on my blog as well.
And your blog is?
MichaelGrump.net. Yeah, so you can go there, you can grab it from there. We'll probably be putting it in a couple of other locations that everybody can grab, they can download. It comes with docx, to a PDF, to Mobi format, to a couple of other formats. So pretty much any device that you're using, you'll be able to get on there and be able to, you know, see exactly what we were talking about today.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. Discussing technology with my friend David Giard.